Is our civilization doomed? This is a talk given at the open air forum of the Ipswich Railway Workshops at midday, dinner hour. Is our civilization doomed? To answer this question, we must first know the fundamental basis upon which our civilization or any civilization is built. There can be no possible doubt that progress cannot be made in any society unless that society has an adequate supply of food and water. Is our civilization doomed? This is a talk given at the open air forum of the Ipswich Railway Workshops at midday, dinner hour. Is our civilization doomed? To answer this question, we must first know the fundamental basis upon which our civilization or any civilization is built. There can be no possible doubt that progress cannot be made in any society unless that society has an adequate supply of food and water. More than this, these primary products must at least be fairly easily procured so that society has adequate time to practice those arts and crafts which constitute civilization. When there is starvation or near starvation, there is unrest, strife, lack of mental concentration, and consequent physical and mental degradation and decay, and no progress can be made. So let us look firstly at the food resources of our present civilization. Let us look at the agricultural resources of the world, for our civilization is a world affair now. Of the 3,200 million persons approximately now existing on the earth, it is estimated by the World Health Authorities that 1,000 million have food enough and to spare. Here in Australia we might even say to waste. 1,000 million are very inadequately fed, underfed, and 1,000 million are either starving or almost so. In India today, many millions are existing on one meal a day and even less. An article in the Australian Medical Journal the other day stated that 600 people die of starvation every 20 minutes. Perhaps you have heard the argument that there's plenty of agricultural land in Australia and the Amazon Valley, which may be and will be cultivated. True, but at the most optimistic estimate, Australia can absorb only about 70 million more people than already exist in it. And that is less than the yearly increase of world population, which is 63 million. It is, of course, clear that even with the most strenuous exertions, this area could not be prepared for this multitude by housing, irrigation, etc., in less than 50 years, by which time there would be 3,260 million people to occupy it. Have you calculated the time that it would take to move a million families from India to Australia, even were all possible shipping devoted to this task? Then again, we are repeatedly told that science, how sick I am of that pompous abstraction, will solve these difficulties. We forget that the amount of agricultural land upon which this great wizard is to act is decreasing fast. The Sahara Desert increases about 100 kilometers every year. Central Asia is admittedly drying up fast. The Gobi Desert is growing. The Caspian Sea fell 15 feet in a few years. And a few more droughts, like the one we're experiencing, will depopulate many farming areas in Australia. We cannot afford to wait till science, after decades of work on irrigation, etc., reclaims some of these areas. One decade, 10 years of waiting, will increase the population to be provided for by 630 million. We are told by many that the oceans can provide an inexhaustible supply of food. But in this area, our boasted scientific civilization is already injuring the source. A recent report from Britain says the increased use of domestic and industrial detergents has affected fishing all around the continental shelf. And these are not isolated instances, but are evidence of an increasing world threat to health and industry, which is wrought by water pollution. Measurable quantities of DDT have been found in penguins and seals in Antarctica, the United States Department of the Interior reports. Presumably this contaminant has been carried by ocean currents from seas around densely populated areas in Europe and America, and has graduated upwards via plankton and small crustaceans to the fat and blubber of these penguins and seals. Last year, British waters were found to be grossly contaminated. And the report says this is very disquieting. Not only so, but in Britain, Holland, etc., the needs of housing are rapidly eating up what agricultural land remains. And it is freely admitted that the food which is produced under highly artificial conditions does not contain the same nutriment as that grown under natural conditions. Having dealt with food, we now deal with water. And the mention of water brings us to our second basal necessity, water. The greatest shortage of raw material in the world today is that of fresh water. Every country in the world is suffering from it, civilized and uncivilized. It takes 100 gallons of pure water to purify 1 gallon of petrol. And we must produce much more petrol each year to sustain our boasted civilization, and very much more to advance it. Surely we do not need to stress this shortage in our country. In Little Israel, where I lived for so many years, this water shortage is likely to produce war at any time. Indeed, the shooting has begun. It is also a cause of war between India and Pakistan. The shooting has begun there too. Schemes to purify water are legion, but they are so enormously expensive and so inefficient that the problem has not begun to be solved. This shortage of water, of course, is due largely to the vast yearly increase in world population. The Chinese population increases at the rate of 220 a minute, 1 million a month, 12 million a year. The Indonesian population increases at 22 a minute, and our population increases 2 a minute. Anyone can see what this means for Australia. The population density in Indonesia is about 434 persons per square kilometre. Here, the density is 1 person per square kilometre. Even the most hardened, materialistic, atheistic evolutionists like Bertrand Russell, Julian Huxley and H.G. Wells are stunned at the present state of civilization. Sir Julian states that the human race stands at the greatest crisis of its existence, and it is doubtful if it can survive. But whereas there is a dangerous source shortage of fresh water, there is almost equally disturbing increase of salt water. The polar ice caps are unfreezing faster and faster. This liberates so much salt water into the oceans that the North Atlantic has risen over 6 inches in the last few decades. Millions of acres of the most fertile areas of the world are only a few inches above sea level. It is estimated that if the Greenland ice cap alone melted, it would put 26 feet on all the oceans of the world. And if all the polar ice melted, there would be 186 feet added to the oceans. There is no certainty that this will not occur from a scientific point of view, for the process has already begun. Only God's assurance that he will not destroy the world again by a flood gives me any assurance that this will not occur. So, friends, the basal structures of our civilization are in grave danger. There are many other factors, only slightly less important, to the maintenance of our civilization, and the condition of these gives grave cause for alarm. For instance, our boasted medical advances are only sustained by an immensely complicated production of synthetic drugs. Vastly expensive and very vulnerable factories which produce these drugs are very vulnerable to any form of hostile attack, and they are keeping just one jump in front of the microbial and virus attacks. Just one jump, and in some cases not even that. For antibacterial and antibiotic drugs, when constantly applied, are apt to breed strains of bacteria resistant to these bactericides and antibiotics. Other drugs must then be found, and then the process is repeated. It is true that the expectation of man's life has been increased in the last 50 years, but this has produced an added burden on society. What is to be done with the aged who cannot support themselves, and they become a burden to our civilization? So you see, friends, there are many insoluble problems, many signs in this area which show that our civilization is doomed. To take some more, what about aerial contamination, radioactive fallout? What about atomic warfare? I need not tell you that soon almost all nations will possess atomic weapons. This morning's paper says China's atomic power must be taken very seriously. These weapons will be at least as destructive as the Hiroshima bomb, and of course in many cases so powerful as to make that bomb seem like a toy pop gun. Does anyone here think that when these emerging nations have the bomb, that these new irresponsible nations will suddenly develop a sense of responsibility and consideration for other peoples? A few years in the Near East and Africa will convince my audience that the answer to this question is in the negative. For civilization in the past was not destroyed primarily by even these means. They were destroyed by moral rot and spiritual degeneration, by disobedience to God's beneficial instructions. One of the nearest civilizations to ours was the Roman civilization. In the days of Nero, the terrible rot had reached appalling proportions. Wealth, luxury, sloth, slavery, lust had utterly corrupted men. Seneca, advisor to Nero, lamented that what once were called vices are now customs in Rome. One of his contemporaries congratulated a young man when he saw him coming out of a brothel on the ground that he might have been engaged in a much worse vice. Sodomy is now so rife in all countries that a bill is to be introduced into the British Parliament to legalise it, admittedly with the futile proviso that it must be prohibited till the age of 24, and this bill is to be introduced by the bishops. Sodomy was punishable by death under Mosaic law, and God wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah for this sin. And worse sins are rife, even in Australia. We're a gathering of men here, so I make no bones about it. I refer to men and women lying with beasts. This was one of the sins which caused God to order the just extermination of the Canaanites by Israel. Surely you are exaggerating, Doctor. These things are not done now. I am not. A young employee of mine who worked on my farm in Cyprus was convicted of this very offence and sentenced to many months in prison. As for juvenile crime, abortion, adultery and violence, and theft, they are now so common as to pass almost unnoticed, or publicly exploited in the press, TV or cinema, and by our self-styled free intellectual authors. What once were vices are now customs in Australia. And nowadays, and they will inevitably destroy this imposing but rotten civilization. Lest anyone should say that these are not enough to destroy the structure, allow me to remind you, friends, that all the fuel upon which our civilization depends, coal, oil, and gas, is fossil fuel. We are burning up our capital, for no such fossil fuel is being formed now. Atomic fuel, will that take its place? Yes, but even a fissionable material is not inexhaustible, even if the dangers of its use were overcome. Then too, friends, there are natural forces piling up, which must be taken into consideration. The number of great earthquakes in diverse places is increasing very rapidly and in intensity each year. Seismologists say that something is building up under the Pacific, which may trigger off at any time now. Certainly the Great Alaska earthquake confirmed their predictions. No one has any authority to say that the stars will not fall from heaven. That is, huge meteoric bodies. 20 million meteorites hit the Earth's atmosphere every year. Great meteorites have fallen in my lifetime, which, had they struck a big city, would have demolished it, as effectively as the Hiroshima bomb. For example, the great Siberian meteorite, which fell in 1907 on the Yenisei Valley. Now, men, all these portents and factors were prophesied by Christ and the prophets. These predictions, their predictions too, concerning Israel's return and rise, have been fulfilled under my very eyes, for I lived in Palestine for 45 years. I believe civilization is doomed. God is just. Whatsoever man sows, he must reap. Man has sown wickedness and rejected God's offer of free salvation, he must reap disaster. This is just. What shall we do, doctor, you say? Turn from your wickedness. Begin with yourself. Get right with God this morning. Receive Christ as your Savior from the penalty of your sin and sins. He died for you. Receive him into your heart, and he will then give you the power to live that pure and happy life which pleases him. You will then be able to help others and give them their chance of salvation too. Christ has promised that he will remove from the earth those who are his before this dreadful period of disaster reaches its climax on the earth. After this is past, he will return, he says, to reign. He does not wish anyone here to be lost. The best social, national, and individual work you can do for your human beings and for yourself is to be saved.